The seeds of the second President Bush's decision to invade were planted by the unfinished nature of the 1991 war, in which the U.S. military expelled Iraq from Kuwait, but ended the fighting prematurely and sloppily, without due consideration by the first President Bush and his advisors of what end state they wished to achieve. In February 1991, President Bush gave speeches that encouraged Iraqis to take matters into their own hands and force Saddam Hussein, the dictator, to step aside. U.S. Air Force aircraft dropped leaflets on fielded Iraqi units, urging them to rebel. On March 1st, Iraqi army units in Basra began to do just that. But when the Shiites of cities in the south rose up, U.S. forces stood by, their guns silent. It was Saddam Hussein who continued to fight. He didn't feel defeated, and in a sense really wasn't. Rather, in the face of the U.S. counterattack into Kuwait, Saddam simply had withdrawn from that front to launch fierce internal offenses against the Shiites in the south of Iraq in early March, and then, a few weeks later, against the Kurds in the north when they also rose up. An estimated 20,000 Shiites died in the aborted uprising. Tens of thousands of Kurds fled their homes and crossed into the mountains of Turkey, where they began to die of exposure. The most senior official in the first Bush administration, urging that more be done in the spring of 1991 to help the rebellious Shiites, was Paul Wolfowitz, then the Undersecretary of Defense for Policy. Defense Secretary Dick Cheney, Joint Chiefs Chairman Colin Powell, and National Security Advisor Brent Scowcroft disagreed, and so thousands of Shiites were killed as U.S. troops sat not many miles away. This is one reason that many neoconservatives would later view Powell not as the moral paragon many Americans do, but rather as someone willing to sit on his hands as Iraqis and later Bosnians were killed on his watch. Wolfowitz, for his part, penned an essay on the 1991 war 2 years later that listed the errors committed in its termination. With hindsight, it does seem like a mistake to have announced, even before the war was over, that we would not go to Baghdad, or to give Saddam the reassurance of the dignified ceasefire ceremony at Safwan, he wrote in 1993. Even at the time, it seemed unwise to allow Iraq to fly its helicopters, and all the more so to continue allowing them to do so when it became clear that their main objective was to slaughter Kurds in the north and Shia in the south. He pointed the finger at unnamed members of that Bush administration, some U.S. government officials at the time, who seemed to believe that a Shia-dominated Iraq would be an unacceptable outcome. And, he added, it was clearly a mistake not to have created a demilitarized zone in the south that would have been off-limits to Saddam's forces and maintained steady pressure on him. Finally, he cast some ominous aspersions on the motivations of unnamed senior U.S. military leaders, presumably Powell and Schwarzkopf. The failure to better protect the Kurds and the Shiites, he charged, in no small part reflected a miscalculation by some of our military commanders that a rapid disengagement was essential to preserve the luster of victory and to avoid getting stuck with post-war objectives that would prevent us from ever disengaging. Wolfowitz seemed at this point to be determined that if he ever again got the chance to deal with Iraq policy, he would not defer to such military judgments about the perceived need to avoid getting stuck in Iraq. A decade later, he would play a crucial role in the second Bush administration's drive to war, and I'll return repeatedly to examine his statements and actions. It is unusual for so much attention to be focused on a second-level official of sub-cabinet rank, but Wolfowitz was destined to play an unusually central role on Iraq policy. Andrew Bosevich, a Boston University foreign policy expert, is better placed than most to understand Wolfowitz, having first served a full career in the Army and then taught at Johns Hopkins University's School of International Affairs while Wolfowitz was its dean. More than any of the other dramatis personae in contemporary Washington, Wolfowitz embodies the central convictions to which the United States in the age of Bush subscribes, Bosevich wrote in 2005. He singled out, in particular, an extraordinary certainty in the righteousness of American actions married to an extraordinary confidence in the efficacy of American arms.